Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope, where hope finds you. We invite you to enjoy and listen and be a part of a place where love welcomes you, peace will surround you, and the presence of God is already present. We invite you to bring your problems, bring your pain, bring everything that you deal with in this world. But when you listen, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Through our ways of reaching you, whether it's our weekly broadcast, whether it's our podcast, or whether it's something that you hear during the week or our weekly broadcast, we invite you to allow the Spirit of God to romance your ears and love on your heart. We don't take it for granted that you tune in to us, but we want to take this moment to just tell you right now, welcome, welcome.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to the call or the recording that's archived. It is your host today of Voices of Hope this morning, filling in for Minister Kim, who is out ill. Let's keep her in our prayers and that she has a speedy recovery. But it is me, Lady Quarterback, back again with another awesome guest. Oh my God, this is going to be another good show, another good show. So as always, make sure you grab your pen, get your piece of paper, back of your envelope, whatever you need to get, because today is going to be great. It's going to be with a real wife coach. That's all right, wife, W-I-F-E coach, and she is going to drop some nuggets. I spoke with her briefly, and I was already making a list. So this is going to be good. You're going to learn something. It's going to confirm some things for you, whether you're married, you're single, you want to be married, you don't want to be married, you're in a relationship, whatever. I'm quite sure that she's going to give us some things that's going to help us, not just as a wife, but as a woman in general. So with that being said, get your pen, get your paper, come right back after this. Okay, and we're back. Hi, this is your host today, filling in for Minister Kim. Hey, Minister Kim. I know you're listening. It's me, Lady Quarterback, here on the Voices of Hope. Y'all know it's going to give me a minute to get that, the Voices of Hope today. Today we have a real wife coach, and she wrote an awesome book, I'm going to let her tell you about the book, but I know someone that has read the book, and she said the book is phenomenal. She read me a couple of pages out of the book, and it is on my two book list, not my to-do list, but my two book list And it's called Being a Wife Just Got Real, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. So with that being said, we're going to bring on our guest, Ms. Tanya. Tanya, right? Is it Tanya?
Tanya.
Tanya. It's Tanya. Barnett is here with us. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm super excited and ready to share and help some folks out.
Yay. Okay. With that being said, let's get all the preliminaries out of the way and all of that before we get all to the meat of the whole interview once a day. So tell us, what is a real wife coach? This is the first time. I love it, by the way. What is a real wife coach? Let's tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, what I do is I'm a wife coach. The moniker real came about because I keep it real. I'm very transparent. I don't sugarcoat things. And so a couple of people, when I was going through the process of coaching with them, they kept saying, girl, you keep it real, you keep it real. And so with the title of my book being a Wife Just Got Real, it just stuck. And so that's what I do. I coach single women, married women, divorced women, women who want to be in a relationship, don't want to be in a relationship. I coach them on their own personal transformation so that they can have healthy relationships. And so that's what I do. I don't do any men bashing, male bashing. I don't blame men. I help the women take ownership for their part and whatever's going on in their relationship and help them change that.
Nice. And I love the fact that you just said, you know, like, you just keep it real. And today, 2017, that's what we need. We need someone that's going to keep it real, that's not going to sugarcoat, you know, and it's going to just shoot from the hip. Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. And my thing is, you can take it however you take it, but the truth is the truth, you know. And, you know, not adding anything to it, not taking away from it, but it, like I always say, it is what it is. This is what it is. You can't. It is. That's it.
Right.
It is what it is. So I love that real wife coach. We actually, and now that I think about it, it's really not too many of those quote unquote type of women leaders. We don't have big mamas anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, big mama would sit you down and she'll be the one to say, baby, look. That man is being a man. This is what you got to do. You know what I mean? You had the grandmothers or the great aunts. You had the mothers of the church. You know, there are people that you can go to kind of help you through whatever those humps is, especially when it comes to relationships and especially when it comes to, you know, our black men and our black women in a relationship together. We all know how challenging it can be because truly it's apples and oranges. I don't care how you put it in there, there's still apples and oranges. So I applaud you for being bold enough to put it out there like that and stand firm. And I hear the confidence in your voice that, you know what, this is who I am and this is what I do. So thank you so much. We appreciate you for sharing your gift. So with that being said, let's get into this book. I want to get into this book for several reasons. One, as I was sharing earlier, is the fact that I am in a relationship. I am a serious relationship. This is the very first relationship that I've ever been in where I decided to give my all, to be real with me, be real with him in the relationship, and be real with us. And it's very challenging and very humbling. Because I decided not to make it all about me, and I kind of noticed some of the patterns that I had in previous relationships as it relates to me and my hurt and my daddy issues and, you know, all these, and my mommy issues and all these other things, because I'm getting older and my goal is to have a mate. And nobody told me how much work it is. And I'm not even a wife yet. You know, I did say yes, we're engaged to be married after graduation next year, hopefully. We'll see after I read this book. I don't know. You might have to put that back another year or two.
No, you could be a better wife.
Right, right. But I love it. Being a wife just got real. Things I wish I knew before I said I do, which is the title of the book. So tell us a little bit about the book, Ms. Tanya.
Okay, well, what I do in the book is I share my own personal story of how I basically went from being a ghetto hot mess wife to being a godly wife, and just really what that transformation looked like. So I actually share real stories, real things that happened in my marriage. Like I said before, I'm totally transparent in my book, and I feel like being transparent, people can relate. I also wrote it in a format where it's like you're having a conversation with me, as opposed to the books that I read when I was going through a lot of my marriage issues were either talking at me or were so textbook-ish or, you know, very, you know, Bible-based, because I do have scripture in my book, but it was so Bible-based that I was like, I can't read this right now because I want to cuss. You know,
right.
So I wrote my book in a format that it's a conversation. It really is a conversation where I'm sharing the things my husband and I went through. Like one of the things, we had a major argument, and I shared this in the book, where in the middle of the night, because I wanted to hurt him so bad, I poured ice cold water on his head in the middle of the night while he was asleep. And we would say, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, acting like two crazy people. And so I share that and just really how you have to, I had to take a step back and say, okay, what's really going on here? Do I want to remain this way? And if I don't, what do I have to do? And so in the book, you see how I started to grow and get my mind right so that I could be a better wife. And this went on for 15 years. My husband and I have been married 17, be 18 this year. And so for 15 years, I was just something else. And so I wrote the book so that women who are either going through some of the things that I went through know that they're not alone, because these are things we don't talk about. Mm-hmm. Or for single women who are engaged or want to be married, they can already prepare themselves. I didn't know that marriage was work, kind of like what you were just sharing, that it's work. I didn't know that it's selfless. I didn't know that, okay, when the children come, and you start adding children to your marriage, that your husband still is first. You know, my moniker was, my kids come first. I used to tell them that all the time. My kids come first. So find what you can find to eat. You know, make sure my kids got something to eat. You know, but that's out of order. And so God really had to, like, bring me all the way down. I share in the book what happened to be able to build me back up to be a better wife. And, I could say, from year 15 till now, my husband and I have been friends. We love each other. We work together. We communicate. And so that's why I wrote my book, so that people have something to go to and someone that they can talk to. I have my social media information in there, so people tweet me, all of that. I make myself very available through the book.
Wow. You said some key things that I wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
You said friends, communicate, love. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And it's so interesting because someone put on my timeline, who eats first, the children or the husband? And it's so interesting how many women was like, my kids eat first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to fix the kids' plate. The kids eat first. But it was somebody said the husband should get his plate first, but if he's a real man, he'll let the kids eat first.
Mm-hmm.
But to give him that option, you know, but as the wife, prepare the man's plate first. So it's really interesting how, you know, you brought that up, but that's really the mindset of a lot of women today. I was always taught that the man eat first, fix the man's plate first, you know, fix the man eat first, and then the kids eat, and then you, as you're fixing plate, because
technically, hopefully, you all are eating together. But when you fix the plates, the order should be like the man, the kids, and then you get your plate and then sit down, and then everybody eats together. So, but it is a lot. And you talking about being a wife, I'm learning being a pre-wife.
Okay, pre-wife. I've never heard that term before.
Look, pre-wife stage, don't get it twisted. If you're serious, pre-wife stage, And it's so funny because I had to learn or really look at, you know how people be like, don't give a man a wife privilege if you're still a girlfriend or, you know, like all of these different things that I used to hear became really interesting when I really had to sit down and look at my own relationship and how serious it was for me. And to be honest, like, I have never been this honest with a mate before in my life. But I believe that our relationship is destined. You know, it's a divine relationship because of the way that we met, number one, which is why I'm putting so much effort into making sure that I'm in alignment with who I'm supposed to be, not necessarily with who I'm supposed to be for him, but who I'm supposed to be in the relationship, period. So we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of things that you said. We're going to I'm going to dig a little deeper into some of the things because you said some really good things in your brief intro. But we're going to talk a little bit about, this is going to be good. This is going to be a good show today, y'all. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute right after this.
Starting your own business is an exciting experience. You have the ability to be your own boss, set your schedule, and make a living doing what you love. However, entrepreneurship also comes with a lot of challenges. Many entrepreneurs fail before they launch their business by not knowing how to set up their business correctly. Every player needs a coach, and every business needs a startup strategist. Don't get frustrated trying to navigate through the paperwork. Let our professional staff get you started. Schedule your discovery call today by visiting our website at www.thestartuhp.com or calling 240-786-8089.
Hello, and we're back to the Voices of Hope. If you're just joining us, it is me, Lady Quarterback, filling in for Minister Kim. Hey, Minister Kim, we're praying for a speedy recovery, but you know I got the train. I'm holding it down today. And we're here with our guest, Tanya Barnett. And she is a real wife coach. Yep, that's what I said. Not life, wife. W-I-F-E. She's a real wife coach. And she wrote a book, Being a Wife, Just Got Real, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. And there are a lot of things that I'm quite sure a lot of people wish they knew before they said I do. And I was sharing earlier how I'm learning the things I wish I knew before I said I do, and I'm not, and I haven't said I do yet. I just said yes. So in the pre-wife stage, there's a lot of things that you should really know and discover before you get to that. But before we went to break, she said a few things. Her and her husband have been together for 17 years, but for the first 15 years, she said that she was kind of, I'm going to paraphrase it, that she was just learning how to be a wife. She was learning herself, and now that she is a upstanding, godly wife, she wants to reach out and help other women be the best wife or the best wife that they can be for their husbands. Miss Tanya, I have a question. You said that now that your friends, better friends, communication is like on point, you know, love is off chain and all that other good stuff that we think that we're in at the beginning. Help us out a little bit with some of the challenges that you learned, if you don't mind, that you learned about yourself before you got to this point. what were some of the things that you learned or you experienced about yourself that you realized that, hey, I'm really not being the best wife that I can?
Well, one of the things I learned was that I was extremely selfish. Mm. And so I thought I brought a child into my marriage, so I thought I was good, you know, because I was a mom already. But I just realized that I was very selfish, very set in my ways. And so if my husband didn't do things the way I thought they should have been done or the way they were done in my household, it was, you know, a major catastrophe for me. And so that is definitely something that we, especially as women, we don't realize when we go into a relationship that we need to have conversations about simple things. One of the stories I share is about my husband making spaghetti. I grew up, spaghetti was noodles and you put the sauce on top. He grew up, spaghetti was a one-pot meal. And so something like that we argued about because in my eyes it was like, this is how it has to be done. And so that was very selfish where the end result is just to eat. And so, just different things of that nature, just being very selfish, not wanting my husband to go out with his friends and things of that nature. It was cool when we were dating, but getting married, I just wanted him with me. And then I realized, too, that that came from low self-esteem and some other issues that I had. And so that caused a lot of problems. And a lot of problems in our marriage, just me being extremely selfish.
And you would really be surprised how the difference in making spaghetti can cause discord in your house.
Right.
Girl, you done hit the, because we had spaghetti the other day, and he cooked the spaghetti, and that's how he grew up, with spaghetti, with the sauce on top. Mm-hmm. And I was upset about it, but I didn't say anything because he cooked the spaghetti. The goal was to eat. I know when I cook spaghetti, it's going to be a one-pot meal. Because that's how it was at my house. But to really have that conversation, like,
yes.
Oh, my God, to really, and one thing I want to say about the wives-to-be, the single women, and, women, period, in a relationship, those simple things, you would be surprised how those seeds grow, you know, because you're planting like those small seeds of discord and selfishness and stuff. And then eventually 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, they have blossomed into this thing that is now in between your marriage or in your marriage or in your relationship. And you're like, now where did that come from? You know,
right.
My goddaughter is in a relationship and she calls me all the time, God, mommy, I don't know. You know, he did this and he did that. And my question would be, well, what did you do?
Right.
Like, you know, be accountable for you. What did you do first? And she's like, wait a minute. We are talking about you. What did you do? How did you handle it? How did you react? How did you respond? Like,
right.
You know what type of man he is, so you can't, you're expecting him to be something that he's not because that's what you want. So how are you reacting and responding to it? And she gets so mad at me. But at the end of the day, my thing is either you're going to be in a relationship or you're not.
Sounds like she need my book too.
Because
I talk about that at the end of my chapters. I have reflection questions, and that's one of the things that I ask. What are some expectations that are realistic or unrealistic that you brought into your relationship, and how can you rectify them, or something to that effect? And at the end of every chapter, there's reflection questions that deal with you, the individual, and then also there's prayers where there's a space where you can put his name. And then also I wrote at the end of every chapter a place to put your prayer request or your thoughts, because I didn't want my book to be something where you just read and you put it on the shelf or you hand it off to your girlfriends. It's definitely something where you write in it, and so you can go back and read the chapter on patience and 2 years later and say, oh, my gosh, I've really grown. You know, in 2018, I was flicking off about socks on the floor, but now it's 2020, and I just step over the socks.
Exactly.
It's a journal about your growth and your transformation. And I wanted women to be able to go back and reflect. And that's something that I've done. I've actually found a prayer journal that I had, and I wrote in it. It was like 2003 or something like that. And I'm like, Lord, mm-hmm. if you don't get this man, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen to him. You know, and just reading, you know, just through my prayer journal, some of the things that I wrote and the things that I felt, now when my husband does things or whatever, it doesn't bother me anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so it's really important for women to understand that marriage isn't about you and that person making you happy. You have to have joy on the inside of yourself. And what marriage does is you all come together to create marriage is a living, breathing entity.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not whole and healthy within yourself, your marriage isn't going to be whole and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to ask the burning question.
Mm-hmm.
Why I got to do it? Why it's got to be me? What about him?
Well, the reason why is because, number one, you're listening to the show. So now you're accountable. You know, you're accountable. He's not. And, I mean, for real, women are compassionate. Men are competitive. And I say that all the time. And so God has graced us to be in the relationship that we're in, whether it's married or engaged or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're compassionate and we have a soft heart, we have the heart of God, once we change our behaviors and we get it right, then the men follow suit. It may
mm-hmm.
not be immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell the women that I work with. Okay, yeah, I see you working on this and you're doing better, but don't expect it from him immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and we have to remember, even if we look at the Bible, Eve was able to change her husband from what God told him, and he followed her. And
come on here.
You look at several stories. You got Sarah that told her husband to put, you know, hey, guy, you know, all these stories.
Come on.
Where the Jezebel. Women could turn the men.
Come on.
And so if women could turn the men to do bad things, why can't we turn our men to do good things?
That's good. That's good. And I've always believed that the women were the pulse of the relationship. Like, mm-hmm. we're really the gravity of the family, period. Like, the backbone of the family. And I used to be so, I don't want to say mad at God, but just kind of perplexed with God, because I'm like, why did you, you know, why we got to be the ones that, you know, be the ones that's got the cry all night and make sure the family eats and make stay up and juggle and do all of that. And then he was just like, you know, because you're capable. Like,
right.
Men can't do what we do. They're
right.
They're not even capable of doing what we do. Now, some men do it, because they learn it. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but it's like one of our, it's in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Because some things are just in our DNA as women, especially as it comes to relationships and family, that we just do automatically.
Right.
Now, there are some women that are desensitized to that, but that, I believe, just is like a deeper issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But as soon as they rectify that issue, immediately they'll fall in line. But we're just equipped. We're the gravity. I always say it. I would now, you know, when my better half, my fiance, would get on my nerves, I'd pray. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to get upset with you. Because you know what? And God had dealt with me at the beginning of our relationship. I'm going to share. Because it was just like, well, he's not doing this and he's not doing that. And, you know, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. And I'm just venting and praying to God and praying to God. And he let me speak. And God said, he's doing exactly what I sent him to do. He is being your protector and your provider. And he said, you so worried about him, you're not even doing your job.
Right.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, guess I am. He was like, no. He was like, you have strength in the spirit. His strength is in the natural.
Yeah.
So you haven't prayed once. You haven't did what you were supposed to do.
You hold it down in the spirit. He holds it down in the natural. So while you fussing at him because he's being the man that he was created to be, you're not even doing your job. That's
right.
What I sent him to you for.
Mm-hmm.
And it shut me right on up. And now I will pray in a minute. He get on my nerves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Let me go in this bathroom.
The other thing, too, you know, we have to remember, a lot of times men just don't know. They don't know. They're not raised to be sensitive, you know,
mm-hmm.
Every time a man
mm-hmm.
wants to show his emotions or whatever. And that's another thing. I didn't know that men had emotions. I never saw my dad cry or get upset
wow.
or, you know, things of that nature. So when my husband cried, I was like, yo, you need to man up. What's that about, you know? But not understanding that men had emotions, that men felt
mm-hmm.
pain, because my dad was always strong. So,
and they're even more emotional.
Right. And so, you know, these are things as black women, we see it as a weakness, but they're human.
Mm-hmm.
They're human beings. It's just like we hurt and we cry. They hurt and they cry, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the black community, I just really feel like as black women, we've been taught to be so hard and to let go of our softness and just really not lifting up our black men the way we should. You know, I tell the women, I said, they're torn up for 8 hours while they're at work. Home
mm-hmm.
should be a place of refuge.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, just like with our children. Home should be
mm-hmm.
a place when they get
mm-hmm.
off that school bus or whatever, home is refuge. And we are the ones, we're the conduits for that. It comes through
mm-hmm.
us.
So now I'm going to ask you the question. What about us? What about me? You talking about them. What about, why do I have to do all the, because that is the biggest problem. Why do I have to do all the work?
Well, let me say this. When I had that attitude, my
mm-hmm.
house was tore up from the floor up.
Wow.
The minute I changed that attitude and I started giving it to God and saying, okay, God, what is it about me? Even my children have noticed that the roles have shifted. So before, I was doing all the grocery shopping, the cooking, the cleaning, all of that, partly because I was a stay-at-home mom, and I stay-at-home with my children. But also, too, my husband, he didn't grow up in a household. His mother abandoned him as a child, so he didn't have his mom. So he didn't know how to do anything. I mean, he just did it, down to cutting grass. He just never did any of that. And so once I got my mind right and stopped complaining about that to God, now my husband does all the grocery shopping. Now my husband cooks. Now he does the laundry. He cleans the bathroom so that I can do my business.
Mm.
So
wow.
Once I stopped taking my eyes off of him and put my eyes on me, then God worked on his heart.
Wow. Wow. That's some good advice right there. That's really, it's a hard pill. It's a huge pill to swallow, ladies. But it is the best advice. And I believe that that's why back in the day, quote unquote, you know, women were stronger. You know, wives were much stronger back in the day because, you know, just kind of, don't know for sure, but if I can just kind of think back a little bit, you know, they really didn't focus on them. They didn't focus on the husbands. You know, they focus on themselves. And, you know, they were much stronger women. It was like they can do anything. It wasn't nothing that they could not do as women. And they still kept it feminine. They never got out of character. They never, you know, was not a lady. You know, they were always
right.
Polite
and it was
and
out of necessity.
Strong.
I mean, think about
yeah.
it. If we go
yeah.
back 20, 30 years, we didn't have all these luxuries we have now, especially not African-American women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were cleaning people's homes, raising other people's children, getting on a bus tired, then going home to take care of their own children.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we have all
mm-hmm.
the luxuries, and so, okay, he got on my nerves, it's over. I mean, what? What is that about? I mean, and so, as you look at the celebrity world, we see this constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. Mm. It's just in our face. We're bombarded with it. And I'm thankful. My parents actually just celebrated 46 years this week of being married.
Wow.
And my grandparents were married 60-something years. So, you know, I had that example. But my husband, his lineage, every single person in his family to this day has been divorced.
Wow.
And single mom. So we had all those dynamics going on coming
mm-hmm.
into our marriage.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk about baggage. Let's talk a little bit about baggage and, you know, being the real wife. Let's share a little bit about baggage before marriage and just kind of talk about some of the suggestions that you may have for us to kind of deal with baggage, not just our, not just theirs, but ours as well. We're going to talk a little bit about baggage. We're talking to Tanya Barnett here on the Voices of Hope with your host, Lady Quarterback. And we're talking about our book, Being a Wife Just Got Real, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Say It, I Do. We'll be right back after this.
You would never leave me there. You claim me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Though heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carry me and refuse to let me sink under the pressure. You meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes have been seen, ears have been heard. All you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory by the power of your might, just straightening out my path.
And we're back. We're back. Why do people say that? I'm going to stop saying that. I'm going to have to change it. I'm going to be like, hey, hey, I'm going to do something else because that's so cliche. And we're back. No, I'm going to do something else. Watch. I'm going to think of something before the end of the show. And that's going to be my that's going to be my tag in. It is me, your host, Lady Quarterback, filling in for Minister Kim here on the Voices of Hope. And we're talking with Miss Tanya Barnett. We're talking about her book, Being a Wife Just Got Real, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. When I tell y'all, if you miss some stuff, you're going to have to listen to the replay or archive because we're talking about some real stuff. And guess what? We're not even talking. We're not even male bashing. Mm-hmm. We're talking about you, the woman, the wife, the girlfriend, the fiance, whatever. We're talking about you. We're talking about you. So we're going to talk about baggage. I really want to talk about baggage because
okay.
This is some of the things that we don't talk about, and it's a lot of, and I think a lot of it is implied. Like, yeah, we know, but I really believe that that needs to be a part or a topic in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a challenge in my relationship because my fiance don't want to talk about nothing in the past as it relates to relationships, and I have a problem with that. Number one, I'm nosy. And then number two, I just want to know, you know, how he dealt with certain things. Like, and he would be like, why do you compare yourself? I really don't think it's a comparison. I just need to know, like, if you didn't like her to put sugar in the Kool-Aid before the water, and I do that, that may trigger something for you. You know what I mean? Where it really doesn't make a deal for me. So I kind of have to kind of, I get it out of him, but I can't be that direct because he was shut down and don't talk about it. But I think it's really important to know, you know, people's past because you got to know what you're dealing with. You know, the things that they can talk about because a lot of people can't mm-hmm. talk about their past openly. I'm transparent. I tell all my business. But
mm-hmm.
When we talk about baggage, let's talk about how, give us some suggestions, because all of these are just suggestions only because you talk about everything in your book. And I'm telling y'all need to get the book. Get the book. We're going to give you the information to the book later. How did you handle baggage, yours and his?
We initially tried marriage counseling.
Okay.
And it did not work for us. Marriage counseling did not work. We would go into marriage counseling and come out arguing more.
Wow.
Because my husband felt like I made him look bad. But the truth of the matter is he would talk for the whole 60 minutes and I would say nothing. And then the counselor would regurgitate everything my husband said, and then he'd come out mad. And I can't believe you had me looking bad and things of that nature. So marriage counseling for us did not work. And so I just came home praying. I was like, God, I cannot continue to do this. This isn't working for me. And I told my husband, you need counseling. And he told me, well, you need counseling because you're not perfect. And so we did our own separate counseling.
Wow.
And that was the best thing we could have done because I had a lot of issues come up for me dealing with my childhood, dealing with my mother. My mother was very overbearing, very controlling. And so I brought that into my marriage. Whereas my husband was freewheeling in it because he was raised by a single dad. So they did whatever, however, whenever. There were no rules in his house. So you brought these two type of people, and then his whole abandonment issues with his mother. So we did separate individual counseling for months. And then through that process, I was able to deal with some of my issues from my childhood, even in adulthood, with dealing with my mother. And then my husband, to this day, still goes to counseling.
And so
the counseling really helped us to be able to. So it's so funny now when I go periodically, we'll talk about, well, my counselor said this and his counselor said that. And so we're able to actually have conversations. It's like, now understand when you say this because my counselor said this is what you meant. And so we not take. And here I am. I'm like, yo, I've been telling you that for 10 years. but the counselor was able to get him to understand. And so I advocate professional counseling. So, yes, I am a wife coach, but I coach on the practical things, whereas the counselor touches on the deep stuff. And so I advocate people going to counseling. I don't care if it's I had an incident while I was in my counseling session, and it came up, I don't know, I started crying or whatever, and I had a vision of me being picked last for kickball, and I think I was like in second grade.
Wow.
Yes. And so we don't understand. It don't even have to be a mother-father type of issue. It could be something from elementary school or middle school that we bring into our relationship. So I definitely advocate individual counseling before people get married. Any of my children that will get married, their intended will get counseling. I will pay for it. You know, because I'm like, what are you dealing with?
Exactly.
But it's very important because we bring all of that into our relationship, that baggage, whereas if we get all that stuff unpacked and unloaded and leave it in the past, then we're good. We're good. And then we're able to receive the good things that God has for us. It's like your marriage is like putting new wine in old wineskin.
Wow. And it's interesting because, you know, our community really don't do counseling. You know, I'm finding that out. I'm going to school for human services. And, you know, it comes up a lot about how challenging it is to get our community to do counseling, to, you know, do some form of, not church, y'all. We ain't talking about church. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a professional. Because, you know, we'll go to church. Yes, we'll go to church. We'll go, and that's fine. I'm not saying don't go to church. Everybody need a little Jesus. However, you know, there's some things the church can't hit. There's some areas that church cannot hit, and you really need to speak with someone, and there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong. And
there
I tell people, if you are gainfully employed, your insurance has a program called EAP,
mm-hmm.
and most companies you get between 6 to 10 free sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Totally free. It does not come out of your insurance. I mean, it's just, and that's, we make sure we use it every year. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to get my AC sessions. I don't know when I'm going to go, you know, doing my business. I went during the summertime, and I just went and talked about my insecurities and trepidations about, you know, some changes I was making in my business. And it helped me
mm-hmm.
make business
mm-hmm.
decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely that whole bag. And then having real conversations, that's the other piece about it. Whereas women, we don't want to be totally honest because we're afraid of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that came out for me was being honest with my husband about past relationships. And I talk about this in a book where I lied and my husband found out. But had I been honest, yeah, it was not pretty.
And I'm talking about
I'm totally transparent in my book. But yes, being honest, being vulnerable, and then you can walk through that together.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing him to be vulnerable and honest, placing no judgment,
mm-hmm.
and then walking through that together.
And I was going to say that I don't know if I read this somewhere or someone said, you know, it's a good thing to be able to provide that safe place for your husband or your mate to be able to do that, you know. And you're the one that you have to create that. You have to create
mm-hmm.
that space for them so that they can do that. And it's so important. And we're talking about marriage, people. You know, we're talking about a wife, being a wife, and these are some of the things, even being a pre-wife, I kind of like that now. So being a pre-wife or, you know, if you're engaged and you're thinking about getting married or you always wanted to be married, you know, it's never too late to get started working on some of these things for yourself. You know, working on some of these things for yourself, you know, making sure you're in position to be able to do that. And even after you get into the relationship, I've been in my relationship, I don't know, we've been together almost 2 years. And when I tell you it's so much work, my prayer has been, now, Lord, if you don't want this to be, then you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to remove it. Tell him don't call me or whatever, whatever. And then, you know, he'll call and we'll talk about it. But we were both honest in saying, like, this is the very first time I've ever dated an alpha male. I've always been the alpha in a relationship. So this is the first time I've ever dated an alpha, you know, and I think this is his first time ever being with a woman that's, like, independent, like, got their own thing, that don't depend on him or don't
mm-hmm.
really need him for anything. You know how people be like, you know, I don't need a man for nothing. No, you shouldn't need a man, but a man has his place.
Right.
You know,
right.
A man has his place. So it has been totally different for me to just, like, be humble and I hate saying allow him to do something or letting him do nothing, but just being humble and moving out the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being humble and moving out the way. And that's been the hardest thing for me. Because I've had single woman syndrome for a very long time. Even in a relationship, I think I had single woman syndrome. It's something that I made up because single women have to do a lot of things by themselves. So when he comes in and, like, you know, do the things that he's supposed to do, I had to put forth an effort to stop and not do it and move out the way so that he can do it.
And be,
you
okay
know,
with it.
And be okay
with
it. It took me a minute to be okay with it. And I'm going to be honest. And we talk about those things. Like, I will always say, like, I've never dated a guy. I've never dated a guy like you before. All of this is new for me. Even how I'm responding is new for me. Or how I'm not responding is new for me. You know. So I really, really encourage you all, if you're a wife, even though you said I do, it's okay. You can still read the book. You might find some stuff about yourself. Even though it says before you said I do, I really believe that this book will help you to be better in your relationship. It will give you some tools that you need, because guess what? Somebody else went through all the trouble for you.
Yes.
Learned all the lessons for you and put it in a book. So all you have to do is apply it to yourself. We're going to talk a little bit about what led you to be so transparent and to write this book, and to just put it out there. I mean, I know God has a lot to do with it, but we just want to. Okay, y'all know it took me a lot to say, not to say, and we're back. Okay, we're talking to Miss Tanya Barnett, and we're talking about her book, Being a Wife Just Got Real, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. And we're going to talk about what led her to write this all down in a really nice book, you know, transparent, and what led her to kind of just be transparent, put it out there for us, and then what her husband had to say about it. What was his, you know, reaction, response, or, you know, support in getting this project done? So you've been with your husband for 18 years this year. Mm-hmm. First 15 years you were learning. Last couple of years has been better, you know, the best that it's been. And you wrote the book. How long has the book been out?
June of last year. June of 2016. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So what led you to say, I need to get this out of my belly and put it in print for the world to see?
Actually, I just heard that still small voice that said, tell your story, and I didn't know what that looked like. I panicked initially because I was like, I can't put that in the book because my daddy gonna hurt this man. But I just was obedient, and I started writing it a couple of years ago, and I stopped because life happened. And then last year, it was just really heavy on me. And I'm sorry, 2015 was really heavy on me. And I went away for a girlfriend's week in Mexico, and I wrote the whole entire book that one week in Mexico, and that was in July, and it was done by December and came out in June. And I just really felt like my story would help so many women realize that, number one, they weren't alone, that they weren't crazy, and that there's hope, that even in the darkest days, because there are some moments in marriage where there's some dark days. There's still hope in that, you know, God is still there in the midst of all of it.
Wow. So you wrote this book on a vacation?
Mm-hmm.
And just got it all out. That's probably mm-hmm. what I need to do. That'll probably give me an excuse to go on a vacation, too. Whatever you got to do to get it out. Wow, that's mm-hmm. awesome. So what did your husband, what was the reaction or response from your husband?
His initial response was like, this is not happening. He was like, you make me look like a monster, that we had a terrible marriage. And I say, you were, and we did. But that's not who we are anymore. And so mm-hmm. he just mm-hmm. really asked me if he could come back to me about it later, because I read him the first chapter, and he was just like, I need you to change some stuff because I look like, you know, a terrible person. But I said, I also put my stuff in there too, so it's not just
mm-hmm.
you. And then we prayed about it, and he came to me maybe about a couple weeks later and just said that he just got the release to share the story so we can help other people. And he was
wow.
like, it wasn't even about us.
Right, right.
And so while I was, you know, it was going through the editing phases, and he would pick a chapter up here or pick a chapter up there, and he was like, I don't know. You know, and I'm like, babe, it's not about us. It's not about us. And so he's really proud of the book, just the response that we've gotten from the book. So many women. We have some men at church that have purchased it for their wives, because they've
wow.
heard other men talk about their wives reading it or what have you. So it has been very well received, and I'm really, truly, there would be no book if it wasn't for my husband
wow.
putting his seal of approval on it.
Wow. Wow. Well, I am excited. I can't wait to get it. I'm getting it next week. Because I got to read it, and it's going to be interesting, because I'm going to share it with him, my better half, and it's going to be interesting because he's an interesting type of dude to kind of see what his reaction is going to be.
I've had women say that they'll read a part and be like, babe, this is you. This is something you would say, but this is something
mm-hmm,
you would do,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. So people can totally relate to the book, and that's why I wrote it like a conversation, because I didn't want it to be a book where it was over people's head, or they were like,
mm-hmm.
oh, well, that's just her, and she
mm-hmm.
was, you know. No, I kept it totally real in my book
wow.
because I couldn't find books like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I said, I searched. And I searched, and I just could not find any books that spoke to me in the way that I talk, in my vernacular, that kept it real and showed that you could still be a Christian and not have a great marriage. I mean, it's just real.
And where did that come from? Like, we're humans. We're going to want to pour ice water on our husbands while they sleep, or like let me tell you, my fiance say the craziest stuff. He tell people, you know, when he talks about our relationship, he tell people that his love for me is the type of love where he wants to set me on fire and then get burned trying to save me. Don't tell people that. I mean, I understand what you're trying to say, but that make you sound kind of psychotic. But at the end of the day, he just like, it's just that peculiar. Like, you get on my nerves so bad, like, but at the same time, I would hurt myself to save you.
Well, it's even like the relationship we have with our children. You love your children regardless of what they do. You still love them unconditionally, and you would do anything
mm-hmm.
for your children.
Mm-hmm.
And marriage is the same way. And, you know, marriage is a covenant between us, our husbands and God. And so when you look at it that way, which I didn't for a long time, then you're able to value him as a child
mm-hmm.
of God. And
mm-hmm.
you see past his issues, and you see past, because those are things. Our job is to be the prayer warrior, so we lift
mm-hmm.
those things up and let God deal with that. It's not
absolutely.
Our job. It's not too much work. I tried that for too long. So now that
absolutely.
I Jesus get them, Jesus get them, you know, and I just keep it moving.
Absolutely.
And so that's really important when we realize we cannot change a man just like we cannot change our children.
Mm-hmm.
And then once women understand that, but we can change ourselves.
We can change ourselves.
Then your relationship is destined to change and blossom and grow.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I learned. By change me, it will change the response from others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily, because that's really what we want to kind of change is the response. We don't really want to change the person. We just want to change how they respond and react to us. You know, but it starts with us. It starts with us changing, us adjusting. I'm not going to say change because you don't want to change, but kind of be flexible and adjust in the necessary situations and relationships. So, Ms. Tanya, at this time, tell people how they can get in contact with you. How could they find this awesome book? And, you know, how can they reach out to you?
Well, my website is realwifemovement.com, and my email is info@realwifemovement.com, and I'm Real Wife Coach on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of those. You can reach me, and I am easy to talk to. I try to respond to everyone that reaches out to me within a couple of days. And I also have a Facebook group called Being a Wife.
Mm.
Yeah, Being a Wife Discovery, I think it's a Facebook group. And then my Facebook page is Real Wife Coach. And on my Being a Wife Discovery Facebook group, we talk, we laugh. There are surveys, women share stories, people put prayer requests on there, we celebrate people's anniversaries. And I wanted it to be where women who read the book have somewhere to go, and it's not like your typical, okay, this is the wives' prayer group. No, I want it to be, hey, ladies, this is what I got going on. I just need somebody. And people have actually gotten prayer partners through this Facebook group.
Oh, okay. Now, you have a new product?
Yes, I do. I have several. I have these really cute mugs that I love. It says Real Wife Movement on them, and then they have a lipstick painting stain on it. It's really cute, and a quote about me. Yeah, and then I also have the Kiss and Play box, which is filled with things for a romantic morning, evening, or night. And inside that box is candles. There's actually a note card in there. So if you want to write a note to your husband, it's already in there. And then I also have a tip card in there. Some other things that if it came in the mail, your kids wouldn't be shocked. Your mama wouldn't be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
It's also that you know, that just make intimacy a little better.
Nice. And you have information on getting those products on your
they're on my website, realwifemovement.com.
Wonderful.
Realwifemovement.com, and you click on shop.
Great. Now, you said you had the group. Do I have to be a wife to get in the group, or I just had to have, you would prefer me to just have read the book to be in a group?
Either or if you're engaged, that it's a great place to come, because we have women in the group that range from being married 37 years on down to, I think, 5 years. So it's a great place to get information if you want to ask questions from women. You know, hey, how did you manage this, or how did you do that?
Right.
So, yes, it's definitely a group where we keep it real, we keep it 100. It's a little different from other groups that I've joined, where it's like a family, it's like a sisterhood.
Nice. Ladies, there you go. You have somewhere to go to ask your questions, to be able to have a sisterhood. You know, the door is open. I would advise you all to get the book. If you get the book, read the book, leave your comments on Voices of Hope page. We want to hear about, you know, how you thought about it and how much, you know, us presenting Miss Tanya Barnett to you has helped you, has encouraged you, has uplifted you, because there's still hope. It's still hope. Love is a living action mm-hmm. thing. It's not anything that you just say. It's something that you do, and you have to work at it constantly. Miss Tanya, I appreciate you for being on the show today. I appreciate you for sharing with us all your nuggets and being transparent. I've been helped and encouraged. I've been helped. So I will be getting in contact with you. You know, get the book, people. We're going to post the information on our Voices of Hope page just in case if you didn't write it down or if you didn't get the information. But I would strongly suggest you to buy the book. And I know that it's going to be a blessing to you and it's going to help you. Ms. Tanya, I know we'll have you back on the show again.
Thank you.
So I won't say see you. I won't say goodbye. I'll say
okay.
Talk to you later. Thank you so much for
to
your
it.
Time.
Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate you so much. And with that, have a great day.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. It is the
sweetest thing I
know.
Come on and lift your hands and say it with me.
It is the sweetest
name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like fire.
Defense!
Talking with the quarterback, we're going to talk about dealing with grief. Now, I know we equate grief with a death, but I want you to know that grief is just a loss. Grief is a keen mental suffering or distress over affliction or loss, sharp sorrow, painful regret. Grief is suffering disappointment, misfortune, or troubled fail. Grief is a loss, period. Whether it's your favorite shoe, whether it's your favorite blouse, whether it's the death of your loved one, a dear friend, grief is just a loss. It's a keen suffering. It's something that's deep inside. It's an emotion that you feel that overtakes you. If you lose your job, there could be grief. If you don't get your promotion, there could be grief. Wherever there's disappointment, there's usually grief. So I don't want you to think about grief as in just death of a loved one or a family member, but grief is just a loss, and it's a keen mental suffering, grief of a relationship that no longer stands. I went through at least a year or so of grief. I lost my mom. I was evicted from my home. I didn't have any money. the closest thing to me, my family, my sister and my niece, moved back to Chicago, and I had it all happen within 30-day span. That brought about a large amount of grief in my life that it took me some time to really deal with because I had lost so much at one time. For me, it was grief mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all at one time. So know that grief can affect you in any of those areas. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling distressed, if you're feeling disappointed, or if you feel like you've fallen into a sea of misfortune, think about grief because you could be grieving. Another thing I want to leave with you is that the opposite of grief is joy. Joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying or keen pleasure. So the opposite of grief is joy. Take this time today to identify something that you've lost, to identify something that has brought you great grief, and then think of something that will bring you great joy. And the more you think on those joyous things, the more the grief will disappear. The more you find great delight or happiness, the more the grief will dissipate. The more you find things that are exceptionally good or satisfying, the more the grief will leave. The more you find keen pleasure in whatever it is, the more the grief will disappear. Today, take this time to think about something that you've lost, something that has brought you great distress, spiritually, emotionally, physically, or mentally, and then write it down, deal with it, and then think about something that will bring you joy, and do it, something that's satisfying. If it's eating a pack of Oreos, that's not healthy, but if it's satisfying, then do it. If it's something that, like reading a good book, or calling a friend that you haven't talked to in a long time, or crying, which always works for me, that will bring you great pleasure, satisfy you, or is exceptionally good at the end, know that that grief will disappear and your life and your goals will be much better. This is the quarterback leaving you with another play for life. Remember, everything is not meant to be completed, but experienced.
Identity theft. Medical identity theft has become more valuable to criminals than financial identity theft. With more and more of our medical information being digitized by healthcare providers, this information has become the target of computer and network hackers that break into these electronic devices and steal our information. Yeah, that's right. They steal our information. Many of you may be saying, what is medical identity theft? And I'm glad you asked. Medical identity theft is when another person utilizes your personal information to obtain prescription drugs, healthcare services, or even to collect money through fraudulent claims against the health insurance policy. Like other versions of the medical identity theft, it can cause serious financial problems, not to mention an incredible hassle in your life, which goes on for years and years. But in some ways, it's even worse. If an identity theft tampers with your medical records, your charts could have the wrong history and diagnosis. Imagine having the wrong information, the wrong medical prescription, the wrong, just wrong everything on your account. This is what happens. It's really a matter of life and death. Yeah, that's right, life and death. So we need to really pay close attention to what happens. You may even want to know, how does medical identity theft occur? And I'm glad you asked. Let me give you just four quick things. Insider fraud, which simply means that medical identity thieves build your health plans for fake or inflated treatment. Obtain free treatments. Medical identity thieves who don't have their own health coverage, they just use yours. Obtain addicted drugs. Medical personnel with access to your data may use your identity to obtain prescription drugs to sell or feed their addiction. Finally, they have organized theft rings. That's right, organized medical theft rings. They buy stolen patients' information on the black market, and they set up fake clinics to bill insurance companies for payments of non-existing treatment. Wow, that's a lot. And here are the ways that you can really prevent medical identity theft. Read the explanation of benefits or your EOB statement that your insurance provider sends you to make sure that you actually receive the medical attention that's listed there. Secondly, request a complete list of payments from your health insurance company on an annual basis. And finally, be aware, when you are at the doctor's office or the pharmacy, just like everywhere else, using your credit card, pay attention to who's nearby when giving out your information, giving out your personal information, your insurance information. Don't leave anything sitting on the counter in plain view for anyone to see. Make sure that you shred the documents. Do a periodical check for discrepancies on your medical information with the Medical Information Bureau. That is better known as the IMB. Get current copies of your medical records in case they've been tampered with for future records. Finally, exercise your right for a free annual copy of your credit report. And you know how I am about getting your credit report. Finally, if you are a victim of medical identity theft, call the authorities and file a report. Call your insurance company and report it. Request access to your medical records. Contact the three major credit bureaus, your bank or financial institution, and your credit card issue. File a medical identity theft complaint. And finally, if you are refused access to your medical records, make sure you appeal. So once again, it's me, your girl, Tracy Brown. Make sure that you catch me Sunday night at 8 p.m. on Release the Word Network, and I will have an awesome word for you.
Even what you told me.
Thank you for tuning in to listen to the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. Connect with us on our social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope. Remember, no matter what you have going on in your life, never lose your hope. God bless.